welcome to Two Boomer Women. I'm your host, Agnes Knowles. I've been talking with Boomer Women for almost a decade now. Well, I guess I've been talking to Boomer Women all my adult life. Reinventing myself several times along the way, though, but always focused on us, Boomer Women. With this incarnation of Two Boomer Women, I'll be interviewing other women who have a message of interest for our demographic. If you want to hear about or learn about something specific, let me know and I'll find someone who understands us to talk about it. There's a contact page at twoboomerwomen.com. If you want to be a guest on Two Boomer Women, bring it on. There's an application form at the website too. Finally, this show is all about conversation. We women know its value. We know how to do it, and we must perpetuate the art form. So let's get started with today's show. Hello, Boomer Women. It's Agnes here again, and I am so pleased to welcome back Glenna Majot. Or, wait a minute, maybe last time we heard from Maggie Tom. I get confused sometimes. And actually, I don't, because many moons ago I had an alter ego and loved bringing her to life. On March 17th, I spoke with the suspense thriller mystery writer Maggie Tom. If you think you have a novel in you, I recommend you go back later and listen to that episode. Today, I'm chatting with Maggie's alter ego, Glenna Majot. Glenna, welcome back.
Hi, Agnes. Thank you so much for having me back again. I absolutely love this.
Near the end of our March 17th episode, I mentioned our shared past in activation, rec therapy, and elder care. Mm-hmm. At that point in time, I quoted words from your website. The women felt like they were being left behind, like their lives didn't really matter. And I remember getting to know incredible women, role models in so many ways, first in their fields, and that's truly how they felt. Now, my own mother's story is pretty incredible, and I'm trying to do her just a wee bit of justice with a web page called Stories My Mother Told Me. Glenna, you've created a roadmap of sorts to help people tell the stories of our parents before they're lost forever. How did that start?
Oh, wow. There's so many things that actually inspired writing two books. Do You Know Your Mother's Story and Do You Know Your Dad's Story? Several things. My mom was a very inspiring woman. She was really a woman ahead of her time. She was one of two women who graduated from university out of a class of 126. So that was back in 1951. And so a lot of women were doing that, right? So my mom, there was a lot of things in her life that were really inspiring, but then I felt there was a point she stepped away from all of that and she stepped back from, you know, doing all that stuff. And so there was a time that I kind of struggled with that. I didn't understand why she had let go of her dreams and sort of started playing second fiddle to my father. At least that's how I thought. And so it really got me curious as to, you know, what her journey was like. And so it wasn't until in her later years, and I'd had many conversations with my mom, you know, about her life, just trying to understand her life. And it wasn't until later in life when she actually had some serious health issues that we really sat down and had a heart to heart without all those barriers and all those preconceived ideas. And I was really, I mean, I thought I knew my mom, but I was shocked. I was really shocked just to get to know her as a person, not my mom, not the life I thought she should have left. And so that really got me started. And I got inspired to start interviewing other women who had stepped outside the norm for their day. And I interviewed many women and it just shocked me because these are women that were real pioneers and most of them didn't see their lives as all that exciting. And many of them have not told their family any of what I learned. And I'm like, no, you can't let this go. Like, this is so incredible. But it's tough. The biggest thing that I heard from every single one of them was, my kids don't ask. My family doesn't ask. And from the kids, I hear, mom never talks about it. So, you know, there's a barrier there. And it's so important to climb over it, however you do that.
I wonder, too, if, you know, like, I mean, as teenagers, you know, our parents are just their parents and they don't really amount to much in our minds. And maybe by the time we start to hear our parents coming out of our mouths and we can identify with them a little bit, maybe at that point in time we start to sort of wonder what their story is, but we're so busy in our own families. Could that be part of it? I guess I'm trying to let people off the hook a wee bit.
Oh, absolutely. And I don't want people to feel guilty, because it's just one of those things, and we always see our parents as always being there, right? They just are there no matter what. You know that anytime you need them, you can pick up the phone, you know, you can stop in, whatever. They're just always there. Unfortunately, there comes a day they're not. They're just not there. And that's when, sadly, we realize that, wow, I should have. And so that also got me really going, is because my father passed away in 2008. And I realized how much of his life I didn't know. And none of my siblings know. Like, we can piece together stuff, but we don't know a lot. And then when my mom passed in 2014, and I did get to know a ton of her story, there's just so many more questions. Like, as we age and we get into situations, we start thinking, geez, did mom ever run into this? How did she handle this? You know what? And that's when we think of asking the questions. And so, I mean, all of that is what really inspired me to write both of my books, because I really wanted to get people to do it before it's too late. Because it is, it's so sad when you realize you can't ask those questions anymore.
Yeah. And I think this hit home for me several years ago, right after my mom died, possibly just before she died, and she ended up with dementia. Mm-hmm. But I moved her in with me. Like, I went, moved into her town, bought a big house, moved her in with me. As we're settling her in, I came across this suitcase full of photographs. So I'm going through, and I mean, I have been back to England. I know a whole bunch of my mom's family, and my aunt was pretty good about naming names and, you know, pointing fingers. So I could identify a whole bunch of her photographs. But then I came to this whole, like, literally dozens of photographs, and I realized they were my dad's family. Mm-hmm. And he was gone. And I still have the photographs, because there's something in my soul that says they're family somewhere, somehow. These people are my family. I don't know who or how. And I don't know if we ever will, because we even had a cousin that we didn't know we had come out from Ontario and look up my brother. So my brother and I got together with her one evening. So I brought my suitcase full of photographs and said, okay, who are these people? And out of the dozens, she found one photograph, and she said, well, that would have been my mom when she was a child, but she didn't know any of the others either. So it's like, oh my goodness. So yeah, really delving into your parents. Yeah.
Yeah. So much history gets lost. I mean, every time, you know, we lose our parents, we're losing just a ton of history and a ton of connection. But I think the biggest thing is understanding them and seeing them as people, not just as our parents. We tend to forget that. And unfortunately for our parents, especially our moms, they really grew up in a time that they weren't to talk about themselves. Like, it just wasn't, right? Everything was about, you know, work, clothes, feeding, housing, you know, those kind of things. And emotions and talking about self, those were things that just weren't done. And so, you know, that is another thing that is really tough. And I know many have said, I've tried to talk to her, but God, she just gets her back up, or she's just like, oh, I'm not talking about that, or it doesn't matter. And the truth is, she really wants to, but it's hard. And sometimes, you know, taking that direct approach, like, mom, you know, what did you do when you were a child? She can't tell you. And that's a tough question. Too often we ask those open-ended questions, and they're tough, because it's like, well, I don't know. How would I answer that? I don't know. I guess did this, did that, maybe. So one of the things that I often suggest for people is try and connect it to something that's happening now. Like, you know, if you see something, say, you know, did you ever have that when you were a child? It's so much easier to get your mom or dad to talk and to find out things. And, you know, it just made me realize, especially after my dad passed away, that that's how I learned a lot of his life, was because of situations that we were in or something. And I just thought, wow, I missed so many opportunities because I didn't understand it at the time. How to get him to talk, or how to get my mom to share more about different things. But yeah, when you're in situations and you see something, ask your parents, ask them, hey, have you ever seen this? Or you ever had this? Or, you know, did you guys ever have something like pizza night, even though pizzas weren't potentially big back then? You know, But finding something that is concrete and here and now, because man, some of the stories I heard, unbelievable stuff that especially these women have done and been through and seen. And to think that, like one woman, she was in her late 70s. This was many years ago. I talked with her, and she had been involved in stuff in World War II as a very young child. And her memories of it were just like, wow. Family didn't even know that she was in Europe at that time, that she was even from there. And I just thought, wow, like they're missing it. And it still affected her today, big time. So yeah, it's so incredibly important to find some common ground to be able to ask questions.
Yeah. And you mentioned like the Second World War. I had to do a keynote a whole bunch of years ago to women about women. And I remember focusing in on that, how during the war, and I guess the information I have is more to do with the Second World War, but probably most wars, is that the men go off and fight, but it's the women that then move into all sorts of positions because they can and they know how. You know, it's not just like, oh, somebody has to do it, so put some homemaker in there. These women are brilliant women. They have responsibility and power and all that stuff. And then men come back from war and the women were sent back to the kitchens. And I just went like, first of all, how much talent was left or lost, but also like what a disservice to really smart women.
Yeah, and how crushing, really, you know, when you're finally getting some freedom, you're making your own money, because that, for many women, that just wasn't happening. I mean, a few women here and there, but most of them, it wasn't happening, right? So they didn't have that freedom. And just being able to go to work and then, yeah, having it yanked out from under them, which brings up another thing. A lot of women, and the biggest thing with your mom and dad is understanding the era they grew up in. We're in very different times than back in the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s. And it's so important to understand what it was like for them back then, because that is still part of who they are and part of their life and dictating how they show up. Because for women, they were second fiddle. They were sort of the background, and they were to keep everything running and smooth and going. And so they were like the peacemaker. They were everything. They had to keep everything under control. And so for a lot of these women, there's a lot of guilt. There's a lot of shame, embarrassment to think, well, you know, we did what we knew. That's what we had to do. And it wasn't a time that you talked about any of this. Like, you just didn't, right? You didn't share that you were struggling with this, or you didn't know how to handle the kids, or you didn't do this, right? And so, like, what a lonely time. Like, I just think, wow, that, to think that you just didn't talk to anybody, that's terrible. Like, it's just terrible. And now to ask them to, you got to understand it's going to be tough for many of them, but it's so important.
I wonder too, as you've been talking about getting their story out, it occurred to me that the one opportunity that probably 99% of people miss because they're so busy rolling their eyes is when a parent says, well, in my day, and it's like, okay, that door just opened.
And that's huge. And you just made a good point, because too often we do fall into that. It's like, oh God, mama, oh God, geez, can you just answer me? And we don't realize that, like, to step out of our stuff, and that moment of time, it's not easy. 100% get that. But you're right, it is such an opportunity to say, okay, so what was it really like in your time? Like, did everybody do that? You know, why did everybody do that? You know, what if somebody didn't? What does that mean? You know, what happened with them? Were they kind of ostracized, or were they like, whoa, that's pretty cool that somebody's doing something different, right? But yeah, we miss those opportunities, because too often we step into, you know, our stuff. Because those conversations, oh my God, when you can remove yourself and remove, you know, those barriers that we put up, you'll be amazed at the things that your parents can do. Like, that was one thing with talking with some of the children. They're like, I can't believe you got her to talk about that. I can't believe you found out that. What do you mean she used to do that? And this was, you know, like I did some facilitating also with mothers and daughters in particular to talk about the past. And it was just, yeah, some of the stuff that came up, that there was shock on both sides, you know, and also gives the mom an opportunity to see the kids as different people, not just as, you know, the child, and start sharing on a different level. It truly transformed my life in many ways, because it changed how I saw my mom and it changed our relationship dramatically.
I wonder too if we almost need to be older to go there, because I'm just thinking that, you know, I think as well, I'll speak for moms, I'm not a dad, but as a mom, you know, like if you try to say something to a teenager or a young person and you get that, oh God, here we go again. You know, that I wish this was on video, because you and I sit here talking, roll our eyes and everything else, like facial expressions right now on this this episode. But so when the questions come a bit later in life, the mother's going to say, I'm not even going to go there, because like you were rolling your eyes last time I tried to broach the subject, and you know, you were really not, well, almost rude to me, you know. So maybe that's another reason why parents just sort of go like, out of hell with it.
Oh, huge. And that's on both sides, right? Because, you know, as kids, we're like, oh God, mom's going to give me this lecture about this again, or, you know, what have you, or tell me I got to be doing this and I don't want to hear it. And as a mom, say, you know, you look at your child and think, oh God, they're not interested, because And we forget age matters, you know, and how we're saying that stuff, right? Again, you know, as parents, sometimes we do get a little preachy about, you know, do this, don't do that, whatever. Where sometimes I think that, and even with us, like women of any age, I mean, I'm really stressing, you know, to get your parents as they age, but really at any age, all of us need to be learning to share our stories with our family, with our children. So that it isn't waiting till, you know, you're 80 and maybe have dementia. Maybe it's like, I don't know, I don't remember that, right? And you don't want that to happen. But it's being able to share it in just a way, you know, this is one of the things that happened in my day. I know I felt, and there we go again, sharing those emotions. That's where I think the breakdown in a lot of communication happens, is because we don't talk about the emotions that go with it, right? So. Yeah.
And I had an interesting thing, just as you mentioned, talking to kids. When my son had got back from world travels and was talking about magic mushrooms that were just so common. And I turned to him and said, did you try them? And this is a number of years ago now. So it was still that. And my daughter, his sister was there at the same time too. And he looks at her and goes, like, you could just see this blank look. And he went, awkward conversation. And I said, no, seriously. I said, like, because I don't know what I would do if I was in that milieu. It was commonplace. It would be like smoking a cigarette or something. So we had that talk. And then he turned around and he said, well, how about you? Like, when you were younger, did you smoke dope or any of that story? So we had that discussion as well. I was totally honest. And then, of course, he says, well, how about dad? And I go, that's your dad's story. Pass the buck here, because, of course, we were well divorced by then. But yeah, just opening up where I don't mean to be taking over your interview here, but where I find it right now is my grandson, who's 11, and I are quite close, and he loves those stories. So does sometimes it have to skip that generation?
I think it does, just because often those barriers are removed, right? And often we start when they're young, where with our own kids, we just don't, right? And I think too often as parents, it's like, well, I'm not telling my kid that, they'll use it against me at some point, right? So we tend to, but it's not about spilling your guts, and it's not about telling all those deep, dark secrets of things you did in your past. It's not about that. It really isn't. But it is telling about your journey through life, some of the things that you've done, why you made decisions you did, you know, how you saw things and how it was in your era growing up, because I think that's the biggest thing missing, that kids just don't understand. They sort of see it, it's like, yeah, okay, whatever, you know, what does that mean? And it's not till you go to a museum or something that's very specific to the old times that it starts making a little bit more sense. But there's just so many opportunity to let them know what it was like, and, you know, like even just like the housing in your area, how that has changed, or You know, how this was such a big deal back in our day when they built a house like this, or, you know, those kind of things, just to give some kind of clarity to what those times were like, because extremely different. I think that was the thing. I mean, I knew a lot about that just through reading and stuff that I had done and conversations I've had. But it really surprised me after having the conversations with these women, how it really made them feel and how they saw it. I mean, it's one thing to know it, but to hear them put it in the words that, you know, you did it, you put your head down and you just, that was just the way it is. And you stressed about it all the time, right? Like trying to be this perfect image and this, you know, superwoman, really, many of them, and yet stay in the background, like keep everything working absolutely perfect, but stay in the background. Don't acknowledge me. Don't give me any credit for it. It's just what I'm supposed to do. And wow, you know, hearing that in their words, I think was eye-opening and sad, like just incredibly sad. These women have done some dynamic stuff. And yeah.
It's interesting too, how, like, I'm in my mid-60s, so I can really see that for my mother's generation. But a couple of months ago, I interviewed a Gen Xer who had this amazing job. Like, she's just a brilliant woman, gave birth to twins, and made that decision that by the end of the month, when you send, you know, twins to daycare, like, how do you even, you know, you're making 3 cents an hour. So she chose to stay home. And so I think there's a certain thread there that is intergenerational. Like, it really isn't just our mother's story.
No, and that's such a good story you brought up, because I think, especially nowadays, there's so much pressure on women to step out and, you know, to be staying out. And it's like, you know what, I truly admire women, no matter what generation, that have stayed home with the kids for at least a couple of years. I think that's so incredibly important. But it has to be a personal decision, right? If that's what fits her, then 100% do it. And if it doesn't fit you, that's okay too. We carry so much guilt and shame and have to's and, oh my God, I should be doing this. And, you know, and it's got to be what sits right for you, what's best for you, and what's best for your family.
Right.
So that's beautiful. I'm you know, glad to hear that she did, because I know that's not an easy decision in these days. It's almost the other pressure.
Yeah, and I know after my kids, I had my kids later in life, well, in my 30s, yeah. And made the decision. Well, partly because same thing. I had 3 kids in 3 years, so the thought of daycare was like ridiculous. And my former husband traveled a lot, so it was just, I'll stay home. Now, it also meant that we were broke most of the time, but that was a choice. When the children were all finally in school and I sort of got a part-time job, I remember juggling my schedule and feeling guilty because then I wasn't available as my children were used to me being as available, and having the discussion with a career mom. So she had kept her full-time employment with having children, and saying, like, is it just me? Like, did you ever have guilt? And it's like, oh, the floodgates opened. Yeah, absolutely. So here we are, both sides of the coin, feeling guilty about our choices. So
yeah, and I think that's one of the biggest things we've got to let go, because it's got to be, because some women are quite, you know, they have that need to be at home, and that's okay. And there's other women, it's like, I just can't. I love being a mom. I love that part of my life, but I need this other thing. And that's okay too. And I think, you know, the rest of us also need to be okay with that, because I think we put a lot of pressure. I think women are the toughest on women for what they should and shouldn't do. And it's really about understanding people's journeys and who they are. And I guess that's the biggest part. It's not just about generation, getting to know the older generation's story, although that's extremely important. But it's also about us sharing more about our journey at all stages of our life. And I don't think we do that. We keep everything so close and tight. And I think that that's unfortunate. I think we're missing out on tons of good conversation and just understanding each other. We judge way too fast.
I'm going to put my hand up here and say I'm totally non-judgmental, because because I have 2 daughters. One's a stay-at-home mom and one's a career woman. So it's like, with children. So yeah. One thing I was wondering, is there a difference for a woman capturing her mom's story as opposed to her dad's story?
I think so. But it still comes down to the willingness of them to talk. Like I said, my dad just never. I mean, there's tidbits here and there we'd learned about his life. There's tons of stuff we could guess about just because of certain things that were said over time. But yeah, he wouldn't talk. And with my mom, it took a long time for both of us to drop the barriers. Not just me, it was both of us, right? I mean, she was very much about this is how you got to do stuff, and this is, image was extremely important to her. What other people thought, kind of thing, and that used to just drive me crazy. And so it wasn't till we both dropped that kind of barrier that able to understand where that all came from and kind of who she was. So sometimes it so depends, because I didn't have a great relationship with my mom. I did, but didn't. I was out to prove, I discovered that I was trying to prove, she could have done everything had she wanted to. Totally different era, totally different circumstances. I mean, it was, when you think back on the stuff you do, it's like, oh, wow. That's a hard question. It really is, because it totally depends on the relationship. But I can tell you that both are incredibly important. And it's the same with sons, sons and dads. I think that out of the conversations I had, that one, again, seemed to be one of the toughest ones in most cases, especially older dads and sons in their 50s, 60s, that there was a lot of barriers and not going there. But it so depends on what you're willing to do and the conversations you're willing to start and to let go of your stuff while you're doing it and act like it's somebody different that you're just talking to. And in the books that I wrote, Do You Know Your Mom's Story and Do You Know Your Dad's Story, I give a lot of questions to ask them. And I also talk about how to ask them, because that can totally change the conversation and the information that you're going to get from them. Because like I said, it's not always easy. It can be difficult, but boy, once you can open that door, it truly can shift a lot of stuff for you and just help you to see them different and help them see their lives differently. Because too many of them just feel like their lives haven't been important. Even still, I've talked to in the last couple of months, I've talked to some 90-year-olds, and that feeling of they didn't do enough and their lives just didn't matter. And it's like, wow, they need to be able to talk to you. They really do.
I wonder too, like just when you were mentioning dads, like just from our generation, many of our dads were, my dad served in Italy during the war. When he came back wounded, but basically shut down that part of his life. Now, I know a few little tiny bits, but those would come out on Remembrance Day after he got drunk. And of course, in those days, I was more focused on the drunk than the stories. So you wonder too, just, I guess I was wondering too, like maybe a son could draw that story out more because it's the manly thing. And I don't mean like the son's really,
Potentially.
but.
And but that's a good point, Agnes, because the time thing, men were men and women were women, and there was a huge divide. And so you're not, I don't think you're totally wrong there. Because a lot of the older men, it's like, oh yeah, I don't want to, touch your sensibilities, I don't want to offend you, kind of thing. But those are, and for some parents, they've been through some horrific stuff, and war being one of them. So sometimes those conversations are really tough, and they may close off that part of the life, and you're just going to have to accept it. But there still are sometimes tidbits that you can learn about those difficult parts of their life without getting into, bringing up the war and the horrifying things that they saw, did, what have you. But it also, to me, is they're crying to be able to talk about it. They just don't know how. They really don't know how. So start with easy stuff, like the other things that aren't about war, that aren't about that section of their life. And yeah, try and have those conversations, because both of you need it. You really do.
And, I think we've sort of suggested throughout the podcast is sometimes we have to let go of what we're thinking and realize the door that's opening. So instead of going like, oh God, here it's Remembrance Day, oh God, Dad's drunk again, saying, wait a minute, I'm going to take advantage of his inebriation to maybe pull a little bit of his story out, like, you know, in a kind way. And I don't mean that in a bad way. But now, once again, speaking as a woman in my 60s, my mom and dad are both gone. Would it help to create their story by talking to, like, we've got a fairly large family, other people, like I've got cousins in Britain who would be old enough to remember my mom. So to get stories from them, like write to them and say.
That's a great idea. Because again, you're also getting a different perspective. Sometimes you may hear the same stories but hear it in such a different way. Like, oh, well, she didn't share that, right? Because you learn more about their part in it, because too often they downplay it, right? So yeah, getting a hold of family, even I know for me, just talking to my siblings about different things that we knew about our parents, it was interesting, right? Because again, we grew up all different ages. I mean, my oldest sister is 7 years older than me, so she saw a lot of different things than I did. So yeah, absolutely. And cousins, relatives, if there's people that you can reach out to, it's well worth it. It gives you such a peace of mind to understand your parents differently. I mean, if you can have those conversations, please do. It's so much history and it's so much interesting stuff. It really is. But if you can't, then definitely talk to relatives, find out about them.
Just expanding on that thought of like, what a great way to sort of get back in touch with extended family. You know, because we just live in our, I mean, as global as the world is right now, we still stay within our immediate family so much and that sort of thing. So yeah, kind of nice to.
Yeah, and I think we pulled away a lot, right? Like we sort of keep in touch, but sort of not, you know, and I mean, some families obviously are better than others, but again, are they having those conversations? But yeah, it's a great way to reconnect with family and just learn more people's stories as well, right? Yeah, it's just, yeah, I think that's a beautiful idea.
Wonder too. I guess I'm thinking of one specific cousin, and her own life as a young woman was sort of the talk of the family, and it was like, oh my God. And so I wonder, by asking her for stories about my mom, that she might start. And maybe she has. You know, she's in England. I don't have a clue whether she shared her stories or not. But it's just like, oh, maybe there is value to my story as as strange or as weird as it was to my family at the time.
Yeah. And actually, you know, we've been talking about, you know, getting your own family, but yeah, just talking to seniors, anybody about their story, their journey, it just makes you realize, one, what we're capable of and that we don't often, you know, see is like, wow, but just gives you a whole different perspective on life and on the way things were and on who people are. It's just, yeah, it's well worth it. It's well worth it. It's very eye-opening.
Well, I think too, especially when somebody's had something so totally out in left field in their life. I mean, not dangerous, not foolish, not anything. Yeah. It was just, that's the way their life went, their choices went. Just, it broadens your own horizons and realizing that, you know, when people go way out into left field, they're still family and it's not that weird necessarily, you know. It sort of broadens your worldview. You have written books on how to get out these stories. Could you give us a couple of teaser tips?
Sure.
Or tell us about the books.
Well, the first one that I came out with was Do You Know Your Mom's Story? 365 Questions You Need to Ask Her. There's way more than that in there, just so you know. But it's you know, just helping you realize there are a lot of questions we don't ask and that we don't know. And so I've put a ton of questions in there, but I also give you the first, I think, 11 chapters. I talk about having those conversations with your mom, why she might not talk. And we've talked about that some, you know, the guilt, the shame, the I didn't do enough, it's not important, who am I? Because that was the era she grew up in. And you have to understand that. You have to understand that's still part of who she is, even though we're in incredibly different times. I think the other thing to understand about both your parents is they have seen the most dynamic change in history of any generation ever. I don't think there'll be another generation that sees the changes that they have gone through. Like, yeah, if you go back, it's that alone is fascinating to talk to them about how they got around in the old days to how we get around now. Big change. Communication. That one is off the charts for where we're at now. So the biggest thing is, like I said, situations, when you're in a situation, just simply talking about, oh, did you ever make stuff like this? Or how did you do that when you were a child? How did you keep in touch with everyone? Didn't have all of these things, right? And how long did it take a letter to go from here to, across Canada or across the ocean kind of thing? So simple conversations like that, and then you just sort of keep probing gently, depending on how willing she is to talk. But like I said, situation. So you're out eating at a restaurant. Say, did you ever go out as a child? Like, did you guys ever go to a restaurant? Because that wasn't a big thing back in the day. There weren't a lot of restaurants. And if they did, where did they go? Did they ever take the food out and go somewhere else to eat? Again, that was something other than making a picnic at home. I'm pretty sure they probably never, for most restaurants anyway. But there's just simple things like that that we take for granted. So start looking at the things that are happening in your life. Or the things you're doing, and just think, wait a minute, did you ever have this? Or when was the first time you ever did this? Right? So simple things like that. The other book that I did was Do You Know Your Dad's Story? The Unasked Questions. And again, our dads, I think that we tend to ask a lot less questions about his life and his journey. We just sort of, and again, a lot of dads were very authoritative, right? They were sort of the ruling hand in the family back when. And we hold on to that. It's not an easy barrier, I think, to step through. I think a lot of people have less connection with their fathers than potentially their mothers. Not necessarily true. I've met some who have really good relationships with their fathers. But it's just important, again, situations as you're doing stuff, as maybe he's, has a hobby that he does. And it's like, when did you start that? Who taught you that? What was it like? What was the first tools you ever used? Whatever you can pull from either of their lives that they're doing now, take it back to when they were younger, just asking simple questions. And the other thing that we haven't talked about, but is talking about your grandparents and your great grandparents and seeing what they know about those generations going back. So yeah, there's just really some simple things and always shifting. The biggest thing is stepping out of your own stuff, because too often, if your mom sort of snaps at you or your dad snaps at you or says, oh, that's a waste of time, we get annoyed and we walk away when really that's an opportunity to be asking questions. Right? So.
We started, just a thought that just came to me with that is, you talked about getting stories from these elders and how the families are going like, what? And as you well know, in elder care, people always try to make excuses for their parents. And I always say, I have no history. What I see is what I know. So I have no judgments, I have no expectations, nothing at all. So I wonder too, if that helped you get some of those stories that, and I mean, I
Oh,
realize
huge.
that children might have needed to come at it at a slightly different angle, but yeah, it's
Oh,
yeah.
that's huge, Agnes. I mean, that's the biggest part. I mean, that's sort of what I was talking about, putting aside our stuff, is that judgment that, oh, this is mom, this is what she always does, this is who she is. And it's like, no, that's just one small part of her, and there's so much more. Yeah, it's gonna take a little bit to get to the rest, but it's there. So yeah, we need to put aside those judgments, those barriers that we put up, keeping us talking from them.
Right. Now, after my mom died, I made it quite clear to my family that I'm now the matriarch. So, could we actually use your books? And it sounds like we could, almost as a guideline for writing our own best-selling biography. No, I'm just kidding. Our own story.
Absolutely. And that's really how I've written. I mean, there's blank pages in the book so you can take notes, that kind of thing. But the biggest thing is just giving you questions, because again, different questions are going to work for different people, and the information you're going to get is different and what direction they go. So yeah, so there's lots of questions and, like I said, suggestions on how to approach your mom, how to keep the conversations going, and yeah, just to keep probing and to document if you want, but absolutely, absolutely.
I was digging around on your website, and I know that you do have a few teaser tips on doing that, and then some of the other categories in your book. So I'm going to put the links to all of that in the show notes, and I really encourage people to go and get these books, and then even if you start slowly, start gently, yeah, doing that, and then doing it for yourself as well. I'm going to change lanes completely here, but before I do that, any additions to telling your mom or dad's story that you want to give our listeners?
The biggest thing is do it now. Do it now before you can't, because you don't know what tomorrow holds. And let me tell you, it's devastating when you can't have those conversations, when you realize how much you don't know and you're just never going to know. It's well worth it. It truly is.
Good. Okay, I'll throw in a little pregnant pause here because before we wrap, I mentioned at the beginning, we chatted on March 17th about your writing career, your successful award-winning writing career as Maggie Tom. Entice our listeners with a taste of your other genre. And I say entice specifically because, as I told you then, that genre is not my cup of tea, and I couldn't put your book down. So entice away.
Right. I write suspense, thriller, mysteries. So if you like stories that are filled with secrets, lies, and deceit, then these are the stories for you. There's many twists and turns that will keep you guessing. Sometimes you'll know, you know, potentially who's involved, but you're not going to really understand why until you get to the end. My books are complex. I'm not going to sugarcoat that. There's a lot going on. You're going to meet a lot of characters. But everything gets tied up by the end. You will know who's who and who's doing what and why they're doing it by the end of the story. So currently I have 8 suspense thrillers published. I actually have a free one that I'm publishing toward hopefully the end of this week. Be out by next week, hopefully.
Wow.
So you'll be able to get a copy of that on my website, maggietom.com. And I have a new series that is coming out May 25th. Called the Twisted Deception series, and book one is called Fostered Identity.
There we go. Okay. Now, in that interview, we also chat, whatever it was, we also talked about the writing publishing process too. So if you're even thinking, I'm talking to the listeners now, if you're even thinking remotely of writing a book, go have a listen, and the link to that show will actually be in these show notes as well. Glenna, thank you so much. Where can people find you if they want to learn more about capturing story, their parents, themselves, whatever, favorite friend even? Where do we find you?
All right. At first, thank you very much, Agnes. I've thoroughly enjoyed doing this. This is great. I love what you're doing. So you can find me at glennamazur.com. You can find me at maggietom.com. And you can find me on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, Goodreads. So you can find me LinkedIn, a lot of the social media. You can find me under either name because I have both on there. So yeah, please connect up with me. BookBub, if you're on there, Amazon, you can come and follow me if you want to find out, you know, next books that are coming out. But I'm on all the bookstores, Kobo, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, all of them.
Now, are these parent books on all those platforms as well?
Absolutely, yeah. And you can actually go into your local library, you can ask them to bring it in if you just want to borrow it. You can go to your local bookstore and have them bring it in if you don't, you know, buy online or don't want to buy online. So you can do that as well. It's available worldwide.
Perfect. Okay, so with that, we will wrap. And yeah, all the links, I'll put everything in the show notes, just like I did. I think I got them all for the March 17th episode. I should go back and look now. Glenna. Thank you. Sorry, I was just sort of thinking Glenna, Maggie.
Too many names.
Now I'm getting confused. Glenna, thank you so much for this.
Thank you, Agnes. This has been absolutely wonderful. So appreciate it.
Have a good week.